Today is June 14th, 1988, and I'm interviewing Ricky Dubberly. Is that his right? Okay, here it is, Nut Shop in Mayport, Florida. Okay, first of all, I need your full name.
Roger Dale Dubberly.
Okay, and you go by Ricky though, right?
Ricky's my nickname.
Okay, and how do you spell Dubberly?
Dubberly.
Okay, and I need your address also.
It's Route 4, Box 321. E. Clinch Drive, Martina Beach, Florida.
Okay. And could I have the address to that? Or the zip code also?
32034.
We can step over here. The mic's a little better. Okay, and we need your date of birth and your birthplace.
7-29-62, Nahanna, Georgia.
Okay. And the spelling for the part of Georgia, the town of Georgia then?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I'll find it. And we need your occupation also.
Net money.
And your education?
I went to the 12th grade in high school and graduated from Fernandina Beach High School.
Okay. Okay, how did you get started with the business in that area?
Well, Dad got acquainted with one of the net workers in Fernandina Beach who worked on the trawl reels. He got me a job. And I started in the 10th grade summer. Them about 8 to 10 years, and then me and Bill Skipper, my partner, we decided to do our business for ourselves. Here we are.
Okay. How long have you had the business right here?
We've been here approximately 10 months now.
Only 10 months?
Yes.
This was the business that you bought from Joseph Floyd, right?
We rent the building from Joe Floyd.
Oh, I see. Did he used to have to run the business in here?
Yes, Joe Floyd had a net shop previous.
Okay.
Does.
I see. Okay. How did you find your partner?
Well, I worked with him, I guess, 8 or 10 years off and on at Burbank Net Shop.
I see. Okay. And I'm interested in the types of nets that you make here. Could you give me just basically an overview of different types of nets that you work on?
Well, we work on scallop trawls, shrimp trawls, cast nets, beach saints, river trawls. Well, basically anything to do with webbing. We make chum bags for sports fishing. We make backstops for baseball nets. Just about anything to do with netting.
Yeah. Do you ever do hammocks or anything like that for people?
Yes, sir. We've done hammocks. We've done just about anything when it comes to do with webbing. We've built tobacco nets that goes in tobacco barns. Like I say, basically anything to do with netting.
I see. Okay. Could you tell me about the different types of nets? A little bit more description of like what a scallop net would look like.
Well, a scallop net, we really don't look nothing like a shrimp trawl. It, well, it's, I guess they average from 30 feet to about 40 feet in length. And they have black chafing gear all in the bottoms of them to keep from riding on the hard bottom, to keep from chafing the netting out. They ride on this black chafing gear. And the chafing gear kind of protects the netting so the scallops don't fall out the bottom of the trawl.
Mm-hmm. How about some of the other types of nets? Like, could you describe basically all the different types of nets that you make?
Well, you got white shrimp nets, which are basically a mongoose trawl that most people use. You have a brown shrimp, which use flat nets, four seams, jib nets, two seams, which those are bottom type shrimp, and use different type shrimp. You have different type of nets to catch shrimps most of the time.
You mentioned like the jib nets. What are those? How are those different from like the other types of nets?
Well, jib nets basically same as a flat net, but a different type corner piece.
Hmm. How's it different in a corner piece there?
Well, it's different cut, different taper on the corner piece. Mm-hmm.
I see.
And a flat net, just a, it's one of the first nets that was ever designed.
Okay. What, is a flat net just a solid piece of netting that would go kind of on a flat plane?
Well, no, all nets have basically, they have bodies, wings, corner pieces, and there's the tail back, which that's where the catch ends up.
Oh, I see. Okay. The wings would come out off from the side of it, right? They're kind of something that's pulling through the water. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Could you describe basically how someone would go about using, say, like one of the shrimp nets? How is that used by the fishermen when they're pulling behind the boat? Kind of the basic principle behind how they work, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, they have a...
Is that one that I might need to take pictures of, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to describe. Yeah. Okay. Do you ever do any netting for people that would be fishing just in the river at all?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. What kind of nets would they use?
Well, they use a call. It's a, basically the same type of net, but a smaller mesh size. Mm. And most of the time, the rivers are smaller shrimp, they use a smaller mesh.
I see.
And, but basically, it's all the same type of net.
Oh, okay.
Same design net.
Oh, so it's not really that much of a difference between the ocean ones and the...
That's right.
And, okay, I didn't know that.
Which in the river, they only pull one net. And the outside fishermen, they pull from 2 to 4 nets.
Mm-hmm. How long would they leave the... How long would they be pulling the nets?
Well, anywhere from, I guess, 30 minutes to 4 hours.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's according if they was to hang up and tear up or... Sometimes when they're not catching much and scrapping, they'll drag 4 hours or so.
Huh. How do they tell when to bring them up?
Well, it's just, they have a tri-net. They mark, they drag for 15 to 30 minutes. And they can tell by the tri-net if there's plenty of shrimp in the area. If they're catching plenty of shrimp, they just keep dragging.
I see.
And pick up according to the tri-net.
Okay. The China is just kind of like a smaller one that would be positioned. I see. Okay. Do you ever do any hoop nets or anything like that, or is that done here at all?
Every now and then, a few people come by and want us to put a net back in the hoop.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm wondering what the different, what the biggest part of your trade is. I suppose it's mostly people coming in for commercial fishing.
Commercial fishing, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Any particular type of fishing with that? Would you have
mostly shrimp trawls and scallop nets.
Oh, I see. Okay. How much would the sport fishing be a part of your trade? Like, what percentage would?
I'd say maybe 5%.
Oh, so it's real small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the nets that sports fishermen are using, what type would they be?
Well, it's just scraps out of the shrimp nets that we use to make chum bags out of. They just get chum off the shrimp boats for chum fishing, catching kingfish, cobia, stuff like that.
Do they ever use seines or anything like that too?
We sell a few seines also. People do it for a hobby, and some people do seine fish for a living also.
Oh.
Some seine fishing is commercial, and some others just for a hobby.
Yeah. How about the cast nets that I've seen people use sometimes?
Yes, sir. We make cast nets here also.
Is that kind of from your own design, or is it something that's been patterned before like that?
Well, cast nets, all those are Bill Skipper's design and partners.
Oh, I see. Okay. Alright, I'm wondering if you can tell me kind of what's involved in putting together a net. Could you give me like a step-by-step process on maybe putting together, say like... one of the ones that you'd use for shrimp, say like a mongoose.
Well, first of all, a fellow call up on the phone and he'll tell us what size nets he wants, and we don't have a diagram for it, which we draw up a diagram, and then we come out in the shop and we count the wing pieces off first of all. Most of the time, set the wings up and you cut your bodies. Put your bodies in the net, and then you sew the tail piece onto the bottom of the bodies, and Then you put the bag on the end of the tailpiece, and then we carry it out to the dip tank. And after that, it's complete.
Mm-hmm. What do you dip them in?
It's a mineral spirits base thing. I'm not sure exactly what it has in it.
Oh, I see. Is that used to give it a stiffness, or?
Yeah, it protects the weather.
Oh, I see. Just mainly as a protection thing.
Mm-hmm. And it sets the knots also in the weather.
Oh, I see. How long would it take to complete a net like that?
Well, two people working, I guess roughly 6 hours complete, 50-foot net.
Mm-hmm. Is that working pretty fast, or is that kind of just
well,
on average?
About an average.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I'm wondering also, what specific type of work do you do in terms of, is it mainly repairs or is it mainly putting together new nets for people?
Well, we got about 50% repair business, 50% new work.
Okay. Say that somebody needed to have their net repaired, how would they do that order for you?
Sometimes repairing is basically just rehanging the nets and retying the chain on and re-dipping the net. And other times, the net will be torn in half or maybe three or four pieces, and then you have to put it all back together.
Hmm.
And then you rehang the net and take it out and dip it also.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose they just bring the net to you when it's come off from unloading their boat, they're catching, and say, well, this is broken, I guess I need some help, you're right.
Right.
Yeah, and there's kind of a demand to get it done quickly, I would suppose, too.
Yeah, most fishermen, they want them back as soon as possible.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What sort of hours do you wind up putting in here then?
Well, sometimes we work from 7 in the morning to 6 at night, and then other times we spend the night over here and get up, work late that night and get up early the next morning and get back to work.
Mm-hmm. About 5 day week, or is it longer than that?
We work a 6 to 7 day week.
Oh, wow. Huh. Keep yourself busy the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A few more than 40 hours then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What exactly is involved in hanging a net? I've heard people using that term before. I'm not quite sure exactly what they mean.
Well, hanging the net, you hang it in on a combination cable. And what that does, it gives you something in the net, you drag the net off of it. It's basically like a rope, but it has a steel wire inside of it, and if you hook the cable to the doors of the net, which the doors are hooked to bridles, and the doors spread the net, and that's what opens the net up.
Mm.
And the hanging cable just holds the net in place.
Okay. So what you have to first do is kind of set that up on the cable, and
right,
then they can
right.
Begin setting it into the water that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm wondering also about the maintenance of a net. How do the fishermen take care of them?
Well, some fishermen, they really take care of the nets, and others, they let them go. They don't patch the holes in them. They let the hanging go down in them. They don't get them re-dipped proper. And the life of a net can be anywhere from 15 minutes to 7 or 8 years.
How are they stored whenever they're not being used in the water?
Well, most people roll them up and put them in storage sheds.
Uh-huh.
And others leave them in the hole of the boat.
Uh-huh. Are they supposed to be hanging most of the time? Or?
Well, no. When you're not using them, roll them up, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What's the material that you use for the nets?
Most of it's nylon.
Mm-hmm. It used to be that they used cotton for them,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. They used cotton years ago.
Uh-huh. When did the nylon first come on the scene?
Well, I guess about 12 years ago, 15 years ago.
Uh-huh. Is that considered to be a lot better? Or
well,
any disadvantages?
Cotton was before my time in the
net
business, but I think nylon's a lot better material to make it.
How did you go about learning how to work in the trade? All sorts of different ways, I guess.
First of all, I helped. I I was what you call a plucky. And as the days went on, you know, I just learned more. I cleaned the lines for the hangman. I retied chain, cut chain. I was just a helper, more or less.
Mm-hmm. And once you go from being the flunky, then you get into learning the actual
technique. Right, you learn the cuts and different sizes of webbings, and learn how to patch holes and sew, and you know, so on.
Yeah. I've noticed most of the nets here come with webbing, and that's the way that these are assembled, right? You just get the big bales of webbing.
Yes, sir. You get a bale of webbing, just like you get a bowl of cloth to make clothes.
Mm-hmm. How many feet are on a big bale like that, or big bolt?
Well, usually about 3,000 meshes bales. It's 200 and a half meshes deep, about 3,000 meshes long.
How long was something like that last year?
Well, it's according to what type and sizes of nets that you cut it out of. You get an average from two nets to four nets out of the bale of webbing.
So I suppose you're going through this pretty fast here in the shop.
Well, at times when we got plenty of new net orders, we'll go through a couple of bales a day maybe. But the other times you have mostly repairs, and we don't use too much new webbing on repairs.
Do you ever do your own knitting with the blocks and that kind of thing? Or is it just the webbing?
On repairs, when you're patching holes, you knit your own holes. You know, you mend your own holes back up.
Have you ever made like entire nets just using the blocks and the needles and that kind of thing?
No.
No. I suppose that would take just too long compared to the...
Yeah, well, you know, this is a time-consuming thing. You know, you have to go the best and the quickest way out, you know. Try to save the fishermen all the money you can.
How long has webbing been sold like that?
Well, I'm not sure. I guess 60 or 70 years.
Oh, yeah, so that's the way it's been done in the area for quite some time. I was wondering about some of the tools that you use. What are your main tools?
Well, mostly we just have knives and bolt cutters, cable cutters. And that's about all the tools we use.
And you've got the netting needles back there, I see.
And the sewing needles, yes.
Could you give me a bit of a demonstration of how you do that, some of the things involved in sewing something together?
Yeah.
Okay. What I could do is just have you... I'll keep the tape running. You could kind of describe for me what you're doing as you're doing it there.
All right. Well, we'll cut that off in a minute.
Okay, I can. Okay, we're back and running again. Okay, what you're doing now is hanging it onto the cable.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about what you're doing here? You're taking...
Okay, basically I'm just taking three meshes. Netting on 4-inch tie, whichever 4 inches I'm making a tie.
So you're tucking that around into the mesh twice, making two loops there.
Three loops.
There's your third one. Okay.
And which this is a closed hitch with an extra roll.
I see. Your extra roll's at the very end, right? That last little loop that you put in. This is a Boy Scout sometimes thinking how to do a plug hitch.
It's a plug hitch, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, it's supposed to be a plug hitch with an extra half hitch.
I see. Okay.
It's called a plug hitch with an extra roll.
Okay. What are the real common knots that you use in one of your...
Well, mostly granny knots and... Well, I call them machine knots. It's basically the same knot that you use as when you repair it, as the machine makes the webbing itself. Which I call them machine knot. I don't know the correct name for them.
Notice that in the saucer that you've got kind of like this back here. That way. Is there any...
You have to have you can't hang the net too tight or it won't fish proper on the bottom.
That's right.
It's just knowing about nets and being in the business to tell what the fisherman like of how tight to hang the net. You can't hang it too tight, and then you can't hang it too slack. Mm-hmm. So you have to hang the net. Some fishermen like their nets hung a little bit tighter than others, and others like them hung slack.
Right there, using a yardstick and a chalk to mark off every 4 inches.
Yeah, yardstick, you mark all, if you're hanging on 4-inch tie, 4, 8, 12, 16, and so on. And some ties are hung 4 1/4, some 3, 3 1/4, 3 1/2, 3 3/4. It's according to what size the webbing is.
Awesome.
Like most mongoose nets are hung 4-inch ties all the way. What I'm doing here is this net here, they ain't hung up. Once the ties slip, I have to remark the line. Get the ties back to right.
Awesome. What were they marked with first? Or is that just the way the rope?
Some people mark them with chalk, and other people mark them with magic markers, according to what you can see the best on the top of the cable you use.
I see. What's the strength of that cable?
Red, this cable here, got about 4,000 pounds of breaking strength.
Huh. Is there ever a problem with them breaking?
Well, if you hit something sharp on the bottom, those move pretty fast. Shoot on top of the cable. I'll just keep it up like this one. Back into the net, and it went in the net, and it rolled out, and it tore the whole net in half.
So that's what you've been repairing then?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We've been working on this for about 6 hours.
When do you think you'll get it completed?
We'll be through by probably 4 o'clock. We'll have a total of about 8 hours working, which that's about $250 for a repair job, which a new one would cost me approximately $800. Sometimes it pays a repair, and sometimes it pays to throw them away and buy a new one. It's important how old the net is and how much life left in it.
What's the life of most of the nets?
Well, I say an average net, 2 to 3 years.
A rope? That's it?
Yeah. After 2 or 3 years, it's been tore up 5 or 6 times. And just not properly taken care of. The webbing just gets rotten and has so many holes in it. Just costs too much to repair the net. It's just not worth it. Sometimes they tear them up so bad that you'd have to put so much new webbing in that they're not worth fixing.
I'm going to pause the tape for a second, bring the mics down a little bit closer here. Okay, we're back and running again. How is the mesh measured? Would this be like a half-inch mesh or 1-inch
mesh? Some people measure the net across the bar. And across the bar, it'll measure half the measurement of stretching it tight from knot to knot.
Oh, I see. Going on the diagonal there?
Like this webbing here will measure like 1 inch. And here, from knot to knot, it'll measure 2 inches.
Are there particular regulations that they have to have determining which net size that they can use?
Yeah, there's some laws that require different size meshes. Florida, the smallest mesh that you can use is 1.5 inches. And Georgia, I don't think they have no mesh law. I'm hanging the bars there now on the end of the wing of the net. So this particular net had bar cuts, paper cuts, and spots.
You said those are called barb cuts that you're into right now?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Flat straight across and then running to the tapers. As you can see, the webbing's starting to go down, like you see it running.
All right.
This line down here on the end, that's called the fucker string. Some people call it the grill line. We call it the door end ring. What that really does, it ties off the end of the net, the string off the end of the links of the net. You pull it on the webbing too tight, you pull on this rope.
So that'll give it some protection when it gets snagged in?
Well, what it does, kind of takes the strain off the wings, the end of the net. And, what you do is you hang it real slack, and it makes kind of a pucker in the net.
To tie that off, you keep doing the little half hitches around the right?
Yeah.
I see.
Half hitch is a pretty huge knot on making nets.
Mm-hmm. Need to move the mic for you, right?
Most of the commercial fishing nets, shrimp trawls, are made out of a number 15 twine, and the tailpiece down around where the bag sits on is made out of 18 twine. And you hang the nets, most people like them hung with either a 48 twine or either a 60 twine. Which, the hanging on the line rides on the bottom. And you put a chain on the net, hold the net on the bottom, it floats on the top of the line, floats the net. And back years ago, instead of the chain, the weight of the net, they used lids. Because they found out lids were too heavy on the nets, so they wouldn't use the chain. So on the shrimp net, you don't really have to be right on the bottom. You use the chain, keeps it 6 or 8 inches off the bottom, and the floats, you can float it according to what type of shrimp you're catching. White shrimp, you want to float it real high up in the water. Brown shrimp, they stay on the bottom, and basically you don't need no floats.
The advantage of using the chain then is to keep it from ripping as easily because it won't get snagged.
Well, the chain keeps the line from riding so hard on the bottom. A lot of people use call it tickler chain. Tickler chain kind of gets the shrimp up off the bottom. When the shrimp jump off the bottom, the net's on top of them by that time, and then they're already in the bag, so they don't have a chance then. Unless there's a big hole in the net, and then they can get out.
Need to move the mics again, right? Okay. I'm wondering also, you mentioned about using the different sizes of twine on it. What's the advantage, or why was that done? Why would they have the different grades of twine?
Well, on the hanging, if you used a smaller twine, it wouldn't last as long, and you'd keep the net in the shop more than you kept it on the bottom fishing. So you use a heavier twine on the hanging on the lines. So you get 5 or 6 months out of your hanging on the net. And like this net here, what I'm...
Okay, you're talking about where the spots were bad and you'd have to use it because it, or where it had been chafed out, I guess?
Yeah, when you spot hang a net, it's basically because the rest of the net's in good shape and it don't need hanging. You just come and hang the spots that are bad. And sometimes they're chafed out, and sometimes where the net was torn up, that piece of webbing will be ripped and you have to put a new piece in there. Hmm.
What are your most common repairs?
What are the most common repairs?
Yeah, that you have to do the most common damages that you have to fix whenever they bring them into you.
Well, rehanging nets are the most repair nets, which fishermen have plenty of equipment. They're supposed to know where all the hangs are and all, but every now and then they find a new hang on the bottom. And there's always boat sinking, a new rock pile on the bottom, so that they cannot always keep up with the hangs on the bottom. But they try to eliminate tears the nets as much as possible. But hangs on the bottom are not all that tears the nets up. Sometimes they load up with jellyfish, tear the nets up. They load up with junk fish, fox, croakers. There's many different ways that they tear up. Sometimes they get them in the wheel heats them up. Most of the time when they get them in the wheel, it's unfixable.
I'm going to leave that corner like that. I think it'd be all like it wasn't this.
That must really mess up could mess up the wheel too, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time they have to get the boat towed in.
Wow.
Yep.
Sometimes they catch it in time.
You give it to them and something come out of the
boat. Get the boat a little bit more.
Is it what I give it to them? Yeah.
And they will come out the wheel.
And somebody must give it to him and he must just dip it in there because it ain't going to want the shit. He just pumped it.
So you'll leave these old lines
there. About 16 foot.
I'll get about 10 foot.
As you can see,
tell you what,
yeah, this is in good shape. Which I would leave. I leave them yesterday because it was ripped out. And I could have knitted all these meshes back, which you can see when the netting's already made for you, you can just cut a patch out and put it in a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And therefore, you have to rehang that area.
This stuff here is better than polyethylene. You know what they used to use on lazy lines? This is twice as strong. You're going to get some if you can use the lazy lines. If you want to have polyethylene, no more.
Yeah, they're not
so this thin. This thin here was ripped.
Now, this guy out the bottom thing.
All the way around.
So I did each
all the way out the bottom. Mm-hmm. And everywhere there's a piece of webbing, like this discolored webbing. This is where we put a new piece in there. It's a lot easier to put a piece, a new piece, than it is to try to knit all that. Which a lot of these meshes, they call them dominoed meshes. Instead of a mesh being pulling square, pull like a domino. That's what they call a domino.
Uh-huh. Is that the way they come, or is that just what happens to them over time?
Well, they don't come domino, they come square. And when the net hangs up, it pulls more on one side of the square than the other, and it makes the mesh domino. See, if the net's designed correctly, the net should pull square. Therefore, you won't cause no domino meshes unless the boat hangs up and you surge to one side.
Mm-hmm. You need it to keep that square because you're using more surface area of the net, then, right?
Well, the more even the net's built, you have more. Less resistance to the water. You have more water flow through you. And the more drag you have on the net, it's that much harder to tow. Therefore, you have to use that much more fuel. And it costs that much more to operate and catch shrimp.
Yes, sir. Do you know who designed this particular net?
Well, no. This is a net that Joe Floyd built a few years back. This is a type of a mongoose net. And it's a little bit different design than we built. But the guy says he's real satisfied with it, mm-hmm. So it really catches good for him.
Yeah. Do a lot of people design their own styles to nets, or is it kind of a lot of...
Well, there's a lot of people try to design their own styles, and a lot of times they end up going back and getting the net maker to straighten it out.
Yeah.
And which we net makers and designers and the fishermen, let them catch them and let us do the net design and make it.
That sounds like a better plan.
Yeah.
Do any of the fishermen do their own network?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of them that makes their own nets, and most of them do their own repairing. There's a lot of fishermen that can repair, but they cannot build their own. Very few fishermen that really know how to design. They can count off somebody else's net, you know, that's already designed a net, count it off, and build one identical. As far as going calculator and pencil and pad and you know, figuring out their own net, they can't do it.
Uh-huh. But, have you ever come up with any original designs on your own?
Well, we've got a lot in mind right now that we're going to work on this year during the white shrimp season. We're going to take the mongoose net and do a little bit of revising, see can we better it, and can it perform a little better.
Mm-hmm. What are the different seasons for the fish?
The different seasons?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, well, I guess more in terms of the nets that you're going to be using. What types of nets would you see through at different types of the years that you'd be working on?
Well, like say from July to February, you probably see most of the mongoose nets, which are they're working on the white shrimp. And from February to June, you'll see four seams, flat nets, jib nets, two seams, which are bottom type nets, which catch brown shrimp, which are bottom type shrimp. Which a lot of people, they don't know the difference. When they go to the store, they just say, give me 5 pounds of shrimp. Which the Florida East Coast white shrimp, as far as I'm concerned, is the best eating shrimp. From North Carolina to Cape Canaveral, is it, most fishermen and people know a lot about shrimp. They say that the East Coast shrimp is the best. The West Coast shrimp, the Gulf, they have a lot more iodine in them.
Oh, I see.
When you start hanging with this, Bill, this looks like freighted, huh?
How about the floats? Where do you get those?
Well, we sell a few floats, but by the time the fishermen leave the floats on the nets, bring them to the shop. But when we build new nets, we normally don't put floats on them. We let the fishermen put floats on them the way they like.
Yeah, set them the way they want. Mm-hmm. How many nets would a fisherman own?
Well, boat pulls four nets at one time. They usually own about 16 nets. And the boats that pull four nets, they normally own about, the boats that pull two nets, they normally own about four nets. Which, four rigs, when I first came into net making, was kind of new. And double rigs, two rigs was the most popular net at the time. Before two rigs, they had a single rig. Shrimp has changed a lot since I've been in it. I don't know at all. I'm always open to learn what I can. I'm young, but I try hard.
How long does it take? Would it take like the average person to really catch on to what they're doing in the net business?
Well, I say 3 to 4 years to be, fair net pin.
Yeah. What's the difficult part about learning it?
Well, I guess the figuring and designing of a net, which there's a lot of people got their own ideas and all, but you put them on paper, they look good, but then you take them out and use them. You know, they don't work proper.
Yeah. Have you done any fishing yourself?
Well, very little. I quit the net shop and went shrimping a few times when net making was kind of slack, and which I always end up back in the net shop.
Oh, yeah. You like it pretty well in the net shop?
Well, I make a living, you know, I feed my family and no killing, but you know, I like it. I mean, most of all, I think it's if you like what you're doing.
Yeah. Check my questions for me. Are there other net shops in the area here? This is about the only one in Mayport, isn't it?
This is the only one in Mayport.
Uh-huh. And you've got the one in Fernandina Beach too, right?
Yeah.
What about like on St. Augustine? Would there be a couple down there also?
There might be a couple of shade tree net makers down there.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they do their own work.
Yeah.
But as far as the net shop, there's not one that has a much. You know, we don't know. It could be, but we haven't heard.
Yeah. So then you're supplying to most of the shrimpers here in Mayport and Jacksonville? And
well, we got, you know, a few customers in Georgia and Fernandina and most of Mayport and a few people in St. Augustine and Cape Canaveral, different places. A few scattered here and there, but the biggest majority of our business is Mayport and Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Would you have any idea about how many customers you would serve?
I would say approximately 100.
100? Oh. Well, I had no idea it was that large.
Well, if you stop and add up all of them, the ones you do business with, I guess, you know, it would easily be 100.
Huh. About how many shrimpers would you say are there in the area here?
Well, commercial shrimpers, I guess, is probably 50 here.
You serve most of them then, I guess.
Yeah.
How's business doing for you here after 10 months?
Well, I think we're doing pretty good. I mean, we can't complain. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be better, but the fishermen aren't catching too good a shrimp right now. There's not nothing out there to catch. Yeah. The fishermen make it, we make it. I mean, if they're not catching anything, that controls our business. If they're catching plenty and making plenty of money, then we make good money.
Mm-hmm. Do you think next season will be any better for the shrimpers?
Well, I don't think you can predict the shrimp season.
Oh, yeah. How about, you were talking also about, like, projecting into the future. Like you said, you probably wouldn't recommend any of your kids to go into the net business.
No, well, not as a long-term outlook on it. I just don't think it looks that good.
Yeah.
It could change within the next day or year or whatever, but right now at the present, I don't think I would encourage my kids to be in the industry.
In any part of the industry?
Yes, sir.
I see. What do you see as the major threats to the fishing industry and shrimping industry here in Florida?
Well, I think mainly the imported shrimp.
Oh.
The imported fish, which I think it's hurting the commercial fishing bad on the price of their shrimp that they're getting. And they won't stick together in order to form a union or anything like that. In order to hold a price.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talking to the fellow before we did the interview, he was mentioning how bad the pollution is in the area.
Yeah, well, that has a lot to do with
the lack of the shrimp in there.
Yeah, well, they also they fish on the roe shrimp.
Mm.
And I think that had a lot to do with it. They need to have more conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And which the pollution, I'm sure, has a lot to do with it also.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I've about run out of questions here. Okay. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's quite a bit more things that I'm sure I could talk about, but it would take a little bit to... You'd almost have to show me examples of the nets before I could really see them. That kind of thing.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I ain't no speaker.
Oh, you've been fine. Thanks.
Bill, what's your name now?